Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:26 British Summer Time. Today is September 17th. And tomorrow is the end of the Fed's Open Market Committee meetings. So we're going to have some form of a statement as with regard to exactly what's going to happen with the tapering of quantitative easing. We're going to have some sort of reassurance as to when the Fed funds rate will start to climb once more. And so far, the market is taking it all in its stride. Now, when we look at where stock markets have been trading, then in Asia this morning, the ASX was up by just a tad, but has held on to the majority of its advance over the last couple of days. And most of the ASEAN markets have had a pretty substantial bounce over the last couple of weeks following some really quite deep oversold conditions in the short term. And India in particular has paused following what has been, in many respects, an incredibly impressive rebound for the major markets, and the banking sector has also at least formed a short-term low in here. And of course, that bounce on Asian markets has coincided with some strength in the respective currencies, so that the short-term oversold conditions on the currencies are also beginning to be unwound in here. And Singapore in particular has bounced back. Two markets in Asia that have been pretty range-bound in the last couple of years and are now standing out as relative strength performers are Korea and Taiwan, and both their banking sectors have returned to positions of outperformance in here. The Chinese A-shares market was quite a bit weaker in here today, whereas the Hang Seng was down by about a third of 1%, and the Nikkei, having rallied impressively over the last few weeks, was a little bit easier and down two-thirds of 1%. It is interesting in Japan that the yen continues to trade in the region of 100 yen to the dollar, when it's a tad weaker in here today, and it's currently trading at 99.15. The second section, which so often leads in Japan, was a bit stronger in here today, and that is a bit of a standout relative to the rest of the market. When we look at Europe, the majority of markets having had impressive advances over the last couple of weeks have at least paused in here. And the announcement by Microsoft that they're going to buy back $40 billion worth of their own shares, although they haven't put a time limit on exactly when they're going to do that, has helped to buoy the Nasdaq in here, and the composite was up by 0.75%. The S&P was up by 0.4%, and the Dow was up by 0.25%. The buyback by Microsoft helps to illustrate just how popular buybacks have become, not least in the technology sector, but really the question is, how are companies paying for these buybacks? And in some cases, it is out of cash, and in others, it's out of borrowing. And when we look at exactly where government bond yields have been trading, then Treasury yields have spiked higher, and they're a bit overbought in the short term. And I guess people have been pricing in the potential that the Fed is going to start tapering in here, and so a good deal of that is probably already in the price. And when we look at the spreads of corporate bonds relative to Treasuries, then they've been pretty steady, and which that means that they've been performing more or less in line with Treasury markets. And when you look at, for example, BBB yields for corporate bonds, then the three-year, four-year downtrend has broken. We've had this massive reaction against the prevailing trend. So that would suggest that the borrowing costs for corporations are increasing, and the capacity of companies to continue to fund buybacks with cheap capital is probably coming to an end, and that represents a challenge for stock markets over the medium term. There's no evidence at the present time that it's any kind of issue in the short term, but the ending of this buyback spree, which has been funded with debt, is likely to have an impact on stock markets over the medium term, because it will remove a source of demand, and that means that the rest of the demand component will be forced to pick up the slack. When we look at where we are with stock markets and the potential for quantitative easing to put particular pressure on leverage traders, then the potential for a good deal of ranging remains probably the most likely scenario. And that would suggest that buying new highs for stock markets is the least advisable course of action, but waiting for them to pull back is probably the most risk-adjusted way of participating. When we think about what the bullish factors are and the bearish factors, most of the bearish factors relate to the end of quantitative easing and to the declining possibility of unrest in the Middle East having a deleterious effect on the global economy because of higher oil prices. What we've seen over the last couple of weeks has been that the spread of Brent crude over WTI had expanded out to about $7.50, and as of the close today is down to approximately $2. So that's pretty clear evidence that the risk premium that was put on Brent is being unwound at present. And one of the stock markets most likely to benefit in that type of scenario is Israel. The Israeli stock market has been pretty range-bound for more than a year, and when one looks at it on the daily chart, it looks quite volatile. But when you take a step back and get a bit of extra perspective by looking at a longer-term chart, then it's been a very tight range, and we're trading right at the upper side of that range at present. And in the absence of a clear downward dynamic, and we've had a number of failed upside breaks in the past, but it does look increasingly likely that the most significant break is likely to be to the upside. And with the diminishing risk in the region, Israel should benefit. When we take a look at the commodity markets, the continuous commodity index, which is an unweighted index of commodities, and we regard as the best index to really measure the performance of the sector, pulled back really quite sharply in here today, and probably led lower by the industrial metals. And more than half the industrial metals are now trading at the lower side of their respective ranges, and clear upward dynamics would be required to really suggest that demand is returning to dominance in here. And the soft commodities have also been a bit weaker. Gold was reasonably steady in here today, but following a sharp pullback yesterday, it was down $2.60 in here today. Silver was down 25 cents back to $21.75. And platinum was down 17, down to 1423. Considering that gold had this impressive advance and unwound the majority of its oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average, then additional upside from there was looking like a challenge, and we're seeing now a consolidation of that advance. Provided it holds above the $1,180 area, then that low from the summer can be regarded as a medium-term low. But given the extent of the decline, some ranging is really the order of business for gold in all likelihood, as support is built before it can really sustain a meaningful rally from these levels. We're going to find out tomorrow exactly what happens with the Fed and tapering. But when we look at government bonds, and particularly on a total return basis, that trend, which had been so remarkably consistent, and I suppose perhaps the most important factor is that when the trend has been so incredibly consistent, and that trend was the most consistent trend in the world because it pretty much only went up for nearly 30 years, and when a trend like that starts to become inconsistent, it really does say wake up and pay attention, because something really important is happening, and that generally suggests that a major top is forming. And that would suggest that when one looks at bonds and bond investing, the strategy that has worked for the last 30 years, which was buy the dips is going to turn into sell the rallies. And I don't think that people have really come to that conclusion just yet, but they will. And that's likely to be a very messy environment indeed for fixed income investors. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.